Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles. You all know that we are in a walk with God. Like Israel, as they journeyed in the 40 years in the wilderness to find the place of rest, we began a journey with the blood of the Lamb as they did, and daily we walk with God, seeking to enter into that rest of spiritual maturity, place of blessing, the place of obedience, and of course eventually into heaven. Now, God established some boundaries to show Israel how to approach God and how to live with their fellow man. In Exodus 20 verse 1, God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So we begin with God revealing himself to the nation of Israel from the mountain with Moses and showing that we must humbly acknowledge the one true God. We have to worship the Lord. We have to acknowledge God. We have to recognize there is one God to worship, and we must not make images of God to worship. God is sovereign and absolute and all-powerful. He's the creator and he's the sustainer of life, and he's revealed himself to us, and he expects us to worship him and give him the respect and rightful position as being God over us. He's given us the Bible to reveal himself to us. Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We acknowledge God. We worship God. We reverence God. We obey God, or we seek to on a continual basis. Over in the book of 1 John, the New Testament deals with these subjects of idolatry and our walk with God. Turn over there with me to 1 John chapter 1. Our walk with God, enjoying the journey and not following idolatry. Chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. The life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which you have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you catch that God is revealing himself in the journey with us so that we can enjoy the journey? We can have the joy of the Lord in our walk with God. This then is the message which you've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Skip down to chapter 2 with me. We see that we walk with God and we have fellowship with him and with other believers. And that's a part of the enjoyment of the journey. Not only do we have fellowship with God, but God is invisible. And to have fellowship with people we can see every day, God has given us the brethren to have fellowship with. We have joy in verse number 4 so that we can enjoy our journey with God. And we're to keep ourselves in the light to enjoy the journey and to keep ourselves out of the darkness of sin. We tell the truth to God about our sin. We confess our sin and tell him the truth about it. And if we do that, we have a promise that he will forgive us and cleanse us. In chapter 2, we see that the reason is we have Christ to intercede for us. Verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Anybody who's going to be saved has to come through him. He's the one who shed His blood to be the point of mercy between God and man. That's Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, our go-between, our lawyer, who represents us at the throne of God. Verse 2, He's paid for our sins. And then we are to keep His commandments, the same as He said in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy and here in 1 John 2:3. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, But whosoever keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So we obey His word and we experience His love. The more obedient we are to God, the more we enjoy the love of God, the blessings of God, the hand of God upon us, the fellowship with God, the closeness in our relationship with God. When a husband and wife are deeply in love, they experience closeness with one another. They enjoy one another's company. They have to go away from each other to go to work, to go to functions, but they enjoy when they get to be back together. They can't wait for that. All of you folks that are old like me or older, you remember when you were young and you was first in love. And you couldn't stand to be away from your sweetheart, you know. I used to hitch a ride with my thumb from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, 5 hours to Rock Hill, borrow my dad's pickup truck, drive to Boone, North Carolina to see my girlfriend, and then all the way back to Rock Hill and all the way back to Camp Lejeune. Do that every weekend. You said, didn't that get old? Nah, not one bit. I was in love. I was anxious. I wanted to see my girlfriend. I wanted to be with her all the time I possibly could. I hated to go back. I hated to leave. And we ought to be that way with the Lord. The closer we are with God, the more we're in love with God, the more we want His fellowship, the more we want to experience Him in His Word and be in His church and be with His people and enjoy the journey with Him. We follow His walk in verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So let us obey our Father and love our brethren in verse 7 through 11 and enjoy the journey. And if we do, we experience God's love for us. We also have to see sin for what it is. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passed away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have to see sin for what it is. We have to recognize what sin is. What is sin? And sin separates us from God. If we sin, we lose fellowship. And sin separates us from the unbelievers of the world. As they sin, we are to be separated from them. Verse 19 says, They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, you know, Jerry preached last Sunday night. It was his last time to preach to us for a while. He spoke on Paul and Barnabas and how they had a contention over John Mark. And they separated. And I thought, well, if that's an analogy he's giving to the people about him leaving, then he means that he and I have had an argument and we're separating and he's leaving. So I thought I'd get to this verse tonight and say the reason Jerry's leaving, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. So I'm just being facetious, of course. But that is the case with unbelievers. When unbelievers leave being around you, when they leave church, when they get upset about a stand against sin, about preaching against sin. And friends, there are people leaving churches and churches changing their beliefs to keep people from leaving today over the issue of homosexuality, a big time thing that's happening in church denominations today. There's always been a problem with sin of fornication and adultery and sexual sins, and now the focus of that is on the sin of homosexuality. It is separating people, separating denominations. Verse 20, the truth is in Christ and eternal life is in Him. In verse 25. Now in chapter 3, he goes into the fact that we are God's sons and daughters. And God has bestowed great love upon us to call us His sons and daughters. And we are accountable to our Father. Those without Christ reveal their sin by their disobedience and are aligned with the devil rather than with God. Chapter 3, verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So the sin of the flesh identifies whether we are of God or of Satan. And there's that dividing point. Now look at chapter 3, verse 23 of 1 John. "We worship God above, and we worship God alone." Chapter 3, verse 23 compares with Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4. We read chapter 3, verse 23. "This is commandment, we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." So we worship God and worship Him alone. And we avoid idolatry. He said in Exodus, they're not to make graven images. They're not to bow down to any other gods. They're not to worship any other god other than the Lord. New Testament reveals that men make idols of things they love and serve and value more than they do God. 2 Timothy says, men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Some people make an idol of pleasure when they put it ahead of God, when they love it more than God, when they seek to serve that in their life more than serving God. That doesn't mean it's wrong to take a vacation. That doesn't mean it's wrong to have fun. That doesn't mean it's wrong to go to a ball game or an amusement park. But some people fill their life with the pursuit of pleasure of their flesh and leave God completely out of their life. And there's where the danger lies. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Wealth and career and achievement can come first in people's lives, and they leave God out of their lives in pursuit of money and success and achievement. God said, "We cannot serve Him and mammon," in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. So He said, you can't serve Him in money. You can't serve Him in material things. You can't put those things ahead of God. You make an idol of those things, just like the Old Testament idol of wood and stone. It's the same way with loving something, serving something, desiring something more than God and putting it ahead of Him. Many worship the god of self. They put self first on the throne of their life and neglect God and forget God. And if they do anything for God, it's to give Him the leftovers after they've done everything they desire to do with their own lives. Israel made an idol of the temple building itself. They exalted that building as the dwelling place of God, and they looked at that building as theirs, and it made them supreme above other nations, and they worshiped the building instead of worshiping the God of the building. Jacob learned that all the way back when the place of worship with God was a pile of rocks that he poured oil on. He called that place Bethel. But later when he went back there, he changed the name to El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. It's God we worship, not the place or the building that we represent God with. We know Jesus taught God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Christ is to be preeminent, lifted up, first place above all others, and we're not to put other things ahead of Him in our love and our service and our value. God has exalted Christ, given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. The Bible says when men do this, it brings glory to God the Father. And so for us to exalt Christ brings glory to God the Father. And we're to worship Him, and we're not to worship idols. We're not to put other things ahead of the Lord. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 115. Turn over there with me if you would. We'll look at several verses in that psalm. as we enjoy the journey. Psalm 115, verse 1 through 16. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Idols. It tells us in this passage, verse number 4 begins it, that men have idols. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell, and hands, but they can't handle, feet, but they can't walk, and throats that can't produce a voice. Now, we see statues everywhere. Mrs. Close, who is the granddaughter of Colonel Springs in Fort Mill, who owned all the Springs Industries and built all the cotton mill industry of Springs Industries here in Fort Mill, its headquarters in Fort Mill. Colonel Elliot White Springs was a World War I ace pilot. And he joined the war against Germany in World War I while he was a student at Princeton. And he and some other students became pilots and joined England's Air Force. Then when the United States got into war, they switched over into the Army Air Corps that they had back then. It was the old biplanes, you know, and I guess in the very first of it, they'd drop a mortar round out of the plane, you know, and that kind of stuff. Fly by and shoot at them with a machine gun or something off to the side. They couldn't shoot through the propellers until they learned to time those things, you know, where they could mount them on the front of the airplane. Colonel Springs wrecked a plane on landing. He got shot and had to land and crashed. And something else happened to a third one, and they asked him, whose side are you on anyway, you know? Airplanes are expensive. But he shot down 5 German planes, so he became an ace. That's what it took to be considered that. He got out of the Air Force as a colonel, came here and bought up all this land. Well, his daughter took a lot of this land, turned it into parks and recreation and all that, and she's put up a lot of statues out there. Statues of things that reminded her when she was a girl, of her mother swinging her with her arms, you know. And there's a statue of her, a woman swinging a little girl, you know, at the out there. And these are remembrances of hers. They're not idols that she worships. They're not something that we worship. But they are like the idols that the heathen worship, in that they are inanimate things. They have no a nose and a mouth and eyes. They can't hear and speak and smell and any of those things. And the Bible says in this psalm that those that make idols are like unto them. In other words, spiritually they are blind and they are deaf and they are mute. They can't worship God. They can't speak for God. They can't see the things of God because they're worshiping idols that have eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear and a mouth that can't speak. Pompeii had the bodies of idol worshipers gathering around their idol when the volcano erupted and covered their bodies. They had run to their idol hoping it could protect them in some way from the lava overflow, and they died right there at their idol and were later unearthed in excavations. That idol couldn't help them one bit, my friends. We pray to a God who can help us in our hour of need, in our time of need, and we are like Him because we worship Him. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We recognize He's the Creator and made heaven and earth. Verse 16 says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth have He given to the children of men." God's given us this world with an atmosphere. All the rest of these planets and stars out there are just dead. They reflect the sun's light and some of that sort of thing, but they have no atmosphere. They have no life on them. They have nothing like what we have on this one little old planet in the whole solar system. And God gave this to us. He created it for man, and then He created man and put him in there. And He'd already made everything for man. And God made this place for us to enjoy. We can enjoy God's creation, but we don't worship it. We worship God and Him alone. Now, one of the problems with idolatry and man and worshiping God is in Romans chapter 1. If you look over there with me, Romans chapter 1. The Bible tells us where man went wrong. and why he worships the creation more than the Creator. Chapter 1, and beginning with verse 18, says that God's been revealed, even His wrath and His judgment's been revealed, and that men are without excuse because God has revealed Himself to them. Nature reveals the glory of God. The prophets have revealed God. At one point in time, after Noah and the flood, everybody on the earth knew about God. But from that point forward, some men did not worship Him as God, and they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened because of sin, because they turned away from God. And men who turn away from God today go into darkness in the same way that the early men did. God has revealed His Word, and God has given us the Spirit to reveal Him, and God has given the church to reveal God to this generation in which we live. The problem is found verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Friends, I've learned something in this life. If we're going to walk with God and enjoy the journey, we need to be a thankful people. And to be thankful, we need to focus on what we have, not on what we don't have. We need to focus on the blessings of God, and we need to focus on who gave us these things. And every good gift comes down from God. We need to focus on Him being the giver of all these blessings. So let us know God, let us glorify God, and let us be thankful. Thankful for our salvation, and thankful for every good gift, and enjoy what we have in this life. Let's be satisfied with God's plan. A man and a woman and children and the church and the Bible and salvation and Christ and all these things are God's plan. Let us accept God's plan and be thankful for God's plan, not argue with God and try to create our own plan and throw God's plan aside. Let's walk in the light and stay out of the darkness, and if we do that, we'll enjoy the journey with the Lord. Idolaters have changed God's glory into idols. Look at verse 23. They've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I know in the dark countries where men were totally uneducated, not too many of them left now, but a few. But I understand how they had religion, but it was corrupted religion. And they had priests of some kind, if it was a witch doctor or whatever it was, to teach them what they were to do to gain blessings. And some of them had some pretty strange things that you wonder how people could be convinced to go along with. To put their kids in the river where crocodiles are, because they worshiped the river, worshiped the things the river could give to them. Egypt worshiped the river, the Nile River. It worshiped all the bugs and frogs and all that sort of thing. And God showed them He was more powerful than all the gods that they worshiped. And you can't believe how people would worship things they could make with their hand. Why would He make an idol Himself out of wood and put it up on the mantelpiece? They thought they were making an image of a spirit. They thought they were making an image of a God. God says, don't make images of Me. I am a spirit, and you must worship Me in spirit and in truth. Idolaters have changed His glory into idols. When men say no to God or give up on God, God will eventually give up on them. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Men who live by their desires reject God, and they worship the creature, worship the creation, instead of worshiping the Creator who has made all these things. Men do not enjoy the journey when they leave God out of their daily life. If they fail to worship and exalt God and walk with God, then they won't enjoy their journey of life. It'll be a frustration to them. It'll be a struggle to them. They'll reap what they sow. They'll live out their days, and in the end of their time, they'll begin to to receive in their flesh what they've given themselves to, what they've worshipped and what they've loved outside God, they'll be destroyed by it in the end. Failing to worship God and exalt God above all others, God may turn them over to their desires and over to their flesh. But He calls upon men to turn back to Him, to believe in Him, to worship Him, to come back to Him. And He's merciful and gracious to forgive and will restore them in their walk. Some reject God and His morals and His commands, and God may turn them over to their sins to be degraded and destroyed by what they live for. So lest you and I acknowledge God, let's recognize the commandments to exalt the Lord, to worship Him and put Him first and serve Him and value Him above all others, and recognize we're not to worship things materially and put things ahead of God. Reverence Him and worship Him with praise. Follow His commands and enjoy our walk with Him. And if we do that, we'll find His blessings and we'll enjoy the journey more when we have the blessings of God. Enjoy fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. The Bible speaks of how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down upon the beard. It's like the blessings of the anointing, the blessings of being together as brothers and sisters. We can be closer than your kin people are, than those who are of your living relations. You can have a closer walk with brothers and sisters in Christ if your relatives are not focused on God and living for Christ. Then you'll enjoy the Christians who are much more than you do those related to you who don't worship the Lord and serve Him. Let's enjoy the journey. Stand together with me, please. Father, we do love You. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You that You have made us and You are our God, and we acknowledge You tonight. Help us always to put You first in our life. Help us to love You. Help us to obey You. And then help us to enjoy the blessings of the Lord and enjoy our journey with one another as we walk with You. Bless this invitation, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.